I am growing more and more in gratitude as a follower of Jesus Christ. And I have experienced significant victory over the lasting effects of shame, relationship and sexual addiction, as well as pornography. But I continue to struggle with fear, pride, anger, control, and codependency rooted in a deep sense of worthlessness. My name is Kent. I grew up on the shores of Lake Erie in a rural area of upstate New York with five brothers. This certainly put me at a distinct disadvantage when it came to understanding the mind or the heart of a woman. We were brought up as Episcopalian, so I understood who Jesus Christ was, but I had no personal relationship with him whatsoever. My father died when I was 8 from a brain tumor, traumatized by his childhood and using alcohol to mask that pain. This left me feeling abandoned and without a role model of what it meant to be either a husband or a father. My mother, married to an alcoholic, was a classic codependent, trying to keep everything together and fix everything and everyone so that she could feel safe. She taught us boys very, very well. A single mom with 6 boys made it life interesting, to say the least. She had her work cut out for her, and she really did an amazing job with the limited resources and tools that she had available for us. However, our family regularly used guilt and shame in an attempt to secure the outcomes that we desired. This left me feeling like I just did not measure up, and ultimately with a deep sense of worthlessness. As a child, I was in full-blown rebellion, trying to protect myself from messages of criticism and desperate to find validation from and in others. During my teens and 20s, I would use a combination of alcohol, drugs, and validation from the opposite sex to mask the pain that I was in. I would measure my sense of worth based on how others viewed me. My identity was defined by others, a true codependent in the making. My popularity was paramount. The goal became how to please others as opposed to any real sense of myself. During this period, one of my brothers took his life, and I was overwhelmed by feelings of guilt and shame, wondering if I could have done something to prevent that. Life became mostly about masking the fear and the pain that I lived in every day. I had little in the way of values or a moral compass. It was all about getting what I want, when, and how I wanted it. My actions were based on what I needed to fill that void in my soul. I was a raging codependent and had little sense of any boundaries or a definition of who I was because I had never developed a true sense of self. Even during these crazy years of rebellion, there was so much evidence of God's grace in my life. Through it all, I graduated from college, and I also spent years working on offshore oil rigs, yet gratefully still have all of my fingers and toes. God protected me and was with me in so many ways, as was my family. After all, we were codependents. During my 30s, I wandered aimlessly around Southern California, entertaining Kent and seeking validation. It had been a formula for me. Then I met my precious ex-wife. She was everything I believe I needed, but she was forbidden fruit. She was still married, but once again, the lack of healthy boundaries allowed me to pursue her. She had emotionally checked out of her marriage, and I saw myself as her rescuer. She was beautiful, witty, intelligent, pretty much everything needed for me to feel complete in my identity. We fit like a glove, and the drama began. Her divorce was filled with conflict, and her three children understandably saw me as one of the obstacles to their parents being together. It became me against them, with my wife caught in the middle. We were the definition of an unblended family. The drama triangle is a model that perfectly described our home. There are three corners of a triangle. It's like a boxing ring, but a triangle. There's the rescuer, there's the victim, and there's the persecutor. It's the perfect playground for codependence. There's a person who plays the victim, the person who pressures, coerces, or persecutes the victim, and the rescuer who intervenes seemingly out of a desire to help the situation or the underdog, but really with ulterior selfish motives. The members of the system bounce around between these roles, which is what creates all the drama. Welcome to my home. One moment, a rescuer. The next, feeling like a victim because the rescue was not working, and then becoming a persecutor. One can move between these roles over long periods of time, like days or weeks, or quickly in minutes, moving randomly from one corner to the other. What drama it really creates. Perhaps my biggest challenge, though, was that I most identified with the victim role because of my history, and as a victim, I felt truly justified in my lack of trust, my personal interpretation of the events as I saw them, and therefore all my reactions, responses, reprisals, any punishment that I doled out, I felt justified in. When I felt victimized, I would justify my persecution. It felt like me against them. Rather than support and affirmation, there was criticism and defensiveness. I would try to fix our circumstances and get angry when it did not work. This was an amazingly abusive and dysfunctional pattern. Rather than affirmation and identity, I experienced disdain, contempt, rejection, and oftentimes condemnation and criticism for my controlling behavior, which just made me feel more like a victim. My fear of being abandoned would cause me to aggressively pursue my wife, and she would withdraw to protect herself. I turned to my career for identity and experienced moderate success, just causing even more self-reliance and pride. My need for validation once again caused me to have unrealistic expectations of my spouse and others in my life. Feeling rejected and desperate to feel accepted, I sought more and more physical validation from my wife that would indicate that my wife was with me. But as that began to unravel, I turned to a place that exposed me to little risk of personal rejection, pornography. I was caught viewing pornography in my office, and one of our marriage counselors, suggested celebrate recovery. So I came to the back room here at Rolling Hills 10 or 11 years ago and visited for 3 weeks. But my pride convinced me that I could see why those guys needed celebrate recovery, but I certainly had my life in control. I could certainly handle my issues in my own strength. I was face to face with the biggest obstacle to my recovery, and that was my own denial. My wife caught me viewing pornography several more times while telling her it had ended, causing more and more erosion of trust and self-esteem. It would be 2 years, however, before I would be personally broken enough to return to celebrate recovery. In my marriage, we saw each other as the enemy rather than recognizing Satan as the true enemy of our marriage and of our family, a common enemy, one who is using our pasts like pawns in his game to destroy God's image of marriage. We had tried a tremendous amount of counseling here at church and also therapy with many extremely qualified counselors, but we were two strong-willed people who were afraid, unsafe, and wanted the pain to stop. Because of the hardness of our hearts, our counselors were just one more opinion, and we kept blaming one another as opposed to being willing to look at the log in our own eye. I both created and experienced extreme helplessness because I was focused on things that were outside of my control. It often felt like a chess match, using everything I could in an attempt to regain the illusion of control, using words as weapons, guilt, shame, constantly escalating, threatening divorce, and using anything I had control over to win. We would try timeouts, but they were taken with no agreement as to when we would return to discuss the issue at hand, so I would begin feeling abandoned and like I just did not matter. When combined with my existing sense of worthlessness, this perspective would generate fear, and that fear would motivate me to attempt to regain control, which typically defaulted to anger and pursuit. The more my wife used avoidance to maintain control in her life, the more I used pursuit and anger in an attempt to gain control. We were in an interdependent relationship, living independent lives, causing even more and more hurt to one another. The less we talked, cooperated, and worked together, the more polarized and angry we became. We were focused on one another rather than truly focusing on the unhealthy dance that we had created together. We were caught in an endless spiral downwards as my need for validation increased and my wife withdrew to avoid the constant pain. It was a vicious cycle that seemed to have no end. Even the generosity of my heart and the things that I would give were not for the benefit of others, but were somehow linked to something I needed, like my wife being available for me. I felt completely controlled by my precious wife because I was a raging codependent and so desperately wanted to please her. One moment feeling victimized and wanting to run before she could hurt me anymore, and the next pursuing her so I would not be abandoned. It was the definition of crazy. It was a pattern I was very, very familiar with in my life, fight or flight. Rather than faith in Christ, our faith was in trying to change one another, which was something that we each had very little control over. We saw our marriage as creating problems rather than understanding God created and uses His covenant of marriage to reveal the problems that we each individually need to work on to become more like Christ, the log in our own eyes. This ultimately caused us to become truly hopeless. I had come to believe that trusting others either meant that they were just like me or that they would do the things that I believe that they should be doing. This was what I based trust upon because it was in my comfort zone. I've come to recognize this as simply needing to control others. Trust is not about other people doing or being what I need them to be. It was at that point that I was broken enough to return here to celebrate recovery, to find out what God really had in store for me. What I discovered was that Celebrate Recovery was like nothing I had ever experienced in my life. In share group, my brothers would simply listen to my pain, not try to fix me, and love and accept me for who I was. I began experiencing Christ's unconditional love. I had finally found a place to admit, confess, and submit these issues to God and to others, rather than justifying and defending my behavior and trying to manage the symptoms on my own. What I began to experience was God's transformational love. In 1 John 1:9, God promises that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in James 5:16, we are promised, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I began experiencing God's forgiveness in my life and the beginnings of real healing. This allowed me to feel safe enough to engage in what we call a step study, where I began to peel away the layers of armor and defense that had protected me from the pain from the pain within, that sense of worthlessness that had kept me, but it was also that sense of worthlessness that had kept me from any true relational intimacy. This is where the real work of Celebrate Recovery gets accomplished. I had never been able to trust others, but I began to experience that I could have intimacy and safety with my brothers here at CR. Around this time, I also participated in another Christ-centered program, ARMS, the Abuse Recovery Ministry. I began learning how patterns of using power and control are really at the heart of abuse. I struggled and spent 21 months in a 12-month program because for the first 9 months, I could only identify with the victim role. I continued to struggle with denial and was unable to see myself as a persecutor or how incredibly unhealthy my role as a rescuer was. Celebrate Recovery helped me to wrestle daily with the depths of my abandonment issue, my deep sense of worthlessness and insecurities, the lack of healthy boundaries, and symptoms like defensiveness, anger, and control that those wounds elicited as self-protecting behaviors that really prevented me from being vulnerable and getting hurt, but also actually sabotaging any ability to experience true intimacy in my relationships. My recovery work began removing the obstacles that had prevented me from having an intimate relationship with Christ. Oftentimes, however, during this period, I would use what I was learning to try and change my wife and family rather than yielding to God and allowing Him to do His work in me. I continued to be emotionally abusive, spiritually abusive, using Scripture to try and achieve my objectives, and physically intimidating through continued pursuit. I continued to struggle with the deeper issues of pride, selfishness, trust, anger, control, abusive behavior, and also allowed my fear and woundedness to get in the way of fulfilling God's purpose in my life because I saw myself as a victim. I thought of boundaries as rules for others rather than limits on myself. I used them to control. When my wife and I would have a fight, I would go online and look at our spending, feel like a victim, and justify using it as control. I was struggling with perhaps the deepest issue of my life, the ability to trust God's sovereignty. Certainly, if I could not trust and yield to God, I could not submit or yield to my spouse or another human being. Most of my recovery work to this point was very self-reliant and in my own power. We all believe in something, and all I had ever trusted and believed in is standing right here before you. It was me, Kent. I was going through white-knuckle recovery as I had felt like I had some control over myself. I had not submitted my life and will to God's care and control because I was afraid and that had no ability to trust anyone other than myself. After all, self-reliance did have some true successes in my life. I wish I could tell you that it's been a simple and easy journey, but it has not. My lack of ability to trust even God, my self-reliance, my pride, my fears, have all been significant stumbling blocks to work through. The negative self-talk and critical voices have been at work in my head for over 50 years. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." While Romans 12:2 tells us, "To be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I knew I could not trust my heart and Celebrate Recovery's weekly teachings, the principles, the step study, sharing with my brothers and accountability partners, all began contributing to the transforming of my mind. I have come to know that if I trust God and submit to His will, that He will make all things right and I don't have to. I can leave the burdens of this world at the foot of Jesus' cross. My recovery will be a lifelong process. Every week I come to CR and learn something new from my brothers and sisters, my family in Christ. Often, when I am hurt, I'm tempted to revert to what I know, protect myself, and blame others. I need my accountability partners. I have experienced that healing is only possible in community and in relationship. So I am grateful for my forever family here at CR because without them, God's immense growth within me would not have been possible. I know for the first time in my life what it means to be in a vulnerable, completely transparent, genuine, and honest relationship. And it's become hard for me to imagine relationship with others without that. Trust is coming slowly for me, but I know that I can trust God to complete the good work He has begun in me. Recovery has been a painful and imperfect process for me. But God is no longer someone I just have knowledge of. I now have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have come to be able to let go of control and forgive quickly, because the steps helped me to forgive a great deal of the past, and I've experienced God's forgiveness in my own life. For many years, prayer was a way to ask God for the things that I wanted. Prayer was me-centered, not God-centered. I was the one on the throne. There wasn't much room for God there. They were prayers for God to change my circumstances instead of change me. Rick Warren says God does not change our circumstances. He changes our hearts and how we look at and perceive our circumstances. It's so sad to me that two people who really want the same thing, to feel supported, loved, cherished, and treated with kindness and respect in a marriage, can be so challenged in accomplishing that together. I believe this is why God makes marriage a covenant relationship, so that we can use a permanent relationship to see where we need to grow. But that is truly difficult when we have our eyes focused on our spouse or we feel like and believe ourselves to be a victim. I now understand that marriage reveals problems and does not create them. It is God's greatest opportunity to do the excavating he needs to do in each of our own lives. I've come to know I have little control over anything other than myself and cleaning up my side of the street by growing in the character of Christ. It is empowering focusing on what I really have control over. Today, I experience more peace than I ever have, and yet my circumstances are exactly what my greatest fears always were, being abandoned by the woman I love. I also know it requires commitment from both spouses to heal and grow a marriage. For years, rather than my identity being in Christ, my wife and my marriage were what gave me my identity. They were what gave me purpose to get out of bed in the morning, which really made it, again, all about me. I've come to believe that God will take away anything that gives us identity if it is not in Him. And perhaps most importantly, I begin to find joy when He is doing that molding and pruning, which can be immensely uncomfortable in my life. Celebrate Recovery is a safe place to come and work through those obstacles that prevent us from growing in the character of Christ, working through those hurts, habits, and hang-ups that prevent us from experiencing the fullness of life that we are each promised. I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the good work He has begun in me and that I trust He will complete. If it is your first time here, I hope that you were able to identify with some of my struggles, where my hope comes from, or perhaps some of my victories. For those of you that have been here before, keep coming back. It works if you work it. Thank you for coming this evening and just listening to part of my journey. Thanks.